Oracle of Luna is a podcast with me, Bridget Ingalls, as your host. Here we have conversations with real live, present day goddesses who are actively and courageously doing their magical work in the world. Each episode is a bewitching journey with relevant discussions on topics such as Wiccan pagan spirituality, writing, culture, magical practices, art, ritual, and the craft in its many forms. Merry meet, and welcome to the Oracle of Luna podcast. It's Bridget Ingalls here, and I have a very important and special guest. Welcome, Cindy Brannon.
Well, thank you so much for having me. I'm excited about talking to you.
Yeah, I am too. I've been a big fan of yours for a long time. And I just want to let you know that this is an audio recording, and we will be discussing Hecate and also your book, Keeping Her Keys, An Introduction to Hecate's Modern Witchcraft. So how are you doing today, Cindy?
I'm doing well. You know, it's a season in my life where there is a lot going on in my family and with me. So I'm just leaning in to all that's happening these days with openness and kindness, and looking forward to seeing how things might come through when different things are all come to completion. Of course, I have a book coming out in January too, so lots going on.
Yes. Lots going on, and it's going to be a dark moon soon, so always an important time for us witches. So without further ado, I was going to just jump right in and ask you, how did your spiritual journey begin, and how did your devotion to the goddess Hecate start?
I would say that I was always a person who deeply connected with nature. When I was a small child, I was always happiest when I was in the woods. I always had lots of imaginary friends. I was raised in the evangelical Christian church.
Uh-huh.
So there was always an aspect of the divine in my life, being expressed by going to church so often. And as I grew older, I just became more curious about the divine feminine, and had a really kind of synchronous experience when I was in high school. My name is Cynthia. I go by Cindy, but my name's Cynthia. And I found a poem to Cynthia, goddess of the moon. I'd never heard of goddesses before. I certainly didn't know there was a moon goddess at all, let alone one called Cynthia. So that was a real awakening for me. And I think maybe you can relate to that.
Oh, yeah.
And then over time, I just really became compelled to explore the sacred feminine, which included, you know, back in the day that we're talking, this is like 30 years ago. So, you know, we're talking about like Artemis was very, so Cynthia actually is a title for Artemis. Mm. Sometimes also used for Hecate too. So it means of Mount Kynthos, which is a particularly sacred place on the island of Delos, where in mythology, Artemis was born. Artemis and Apollo were birthed by Leto. Mm. So that's where the Cynthia comes from. So as I kind of went further into that and just became more and more curious, and had a really profound experience kind of out of the blue with Hecate, where I felt some kind of deep inner knowing. And if you've ever had an experience like this, it's very hard to articulate, but some type of deep inner knowing that she had spoken to me late one night while I was folding laundry, of all things. I wasn't meditating or, you know, doing anything spiritual at all. I was just in that very sleepy liminal zone that you get into when you've just got to get stuff done, even though you'd really rather be in bed.
Yes.
And I just heard a voice say, speak to me. And I knew that voice was Hecate. And I really didn't know much about her because this dates back, you know, to the early 2000s when there was very little being said about her. And just became curious about her, became an accidental scholar of the classics, classic literature, the ancient Mediterranean, because I was really just curious about who was this goddess who I felt had really come through into my consciousness.
Was this in college or around college time in your life or?
No.
Okay.
Just curious. I'm in my 50s, so
yeah,
this is
no college. Worries. No, I think you know, I'm always curious when people start their spiritual journey and you know, goddess connection. It's I don't know. It's something that I'm interested in knowing if it happens around their college, you know, when they're exploring their career or, you know, just life in general. But I was wondering, is this in Canada or the U.S. that you?
I've always lived in Canada, though I've done training in the U.S. and spent a lot of time in the U.S., but I am Canadian.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah, it's interesting how goddess shows up in our lives and when. So it sounds like she showed up to speak with you when you're doing laundry?
Yeah, yes. But this is after... You know, if we go from high school to this time when I was in my 30s, you know, I had close connections to Artemis and, of course, Persephone, Isis, Caridwen, you know, the Celtic, the different faces of the Celtic goddess. Yeah. You know, I had been kind of a student of the sacred feminine for a long time by this point.
Okay, I see. And so what motivated you to start writing your book, Keeping Our Keys, An Introduction to Hecate's Modern Witchcraft?
Well, I wrote the book that I wished I had had.
Yeah.
That, you know, that's a short answer.
Yeah. And it's in, at what point in your life, I mean, did you feel that the real need to do that? I mean, were you just really seeking her guidance or again, was it just sort of, I don't know, happenstance or I don't know. What really put the fire under you to write this book?
Well, I am a person who believes that there are times when we are called to do something. Like I believe that we do have like a soul's mission in this life.
Yes.
And that there are times when we are called upon to make some really momentous decisions that can really realign us or bring us deeper into our own soul and what we're meant to do in life. And so I had an experience like that several years ago now after I came to a crossroads. You know, Hecate, of course, is a spirit that meets us at the crossroads. And, you know, she's there when we're in those moments.
Yeah.
You know, confusion, disorientation. We feel like, you know, things need to change. She's definitely a spirit of transformation. And I was driving home one day. I live rurally. I live in a tiny coastal fishing village. And I was driving home from the university that I taught at. And I had been teaching what I'll call like spiritual classes, meditation and leading rituals and so on locally for several years at this point.
Oh, okay.
And I just had this feeling that it was time to step into a new trajectory, that you know, there was time for a leveling up in what I was doing professionally, and had this drive home along the coast. Came home and talked to my two sons and said, you know, this is the decision I've made. It's going to mean most likely, you know, that In terms of finances, we really have to cut back what we're doing, but we'll be okay. I feel this is really something I'm being called towards. It's something that's opening up to me. I started a blog. The blog was very much unexpectedly a big success. The book came, and now here we are several years later, where I have, you know, I have my own organization. I have my own school, the Covina Institute, that merges modern psychology and the deeper world, and through the curriculum. And I have three books out, and I have a fourth book coming out. So, Hail Hecate.
Hail Hecate. Yeah, it's so cool. I mean, you were literally on a crossroad, right? Driving on that crossroad, and she came to your guidance, came to your aid, it sounds like, and here you are, and you made the trajectory. So I was just curious, we know that Hecate is a very important ancient deity, and she's been worshipped for thousands of years. How would you say that she is relevant in the present?
This is such a fascinating question, and I love to discuss it. Like, I want to ask you the questions, you know what I mean?
Because yeah. Question. I know an answer, but I thought I would ask you.
Why is Hecate a goddess of our time? Really, she is, as a, you know, in many different expressions and many different ways that people understand and connect to Hecate, you know, in pop culture, in spirituality, you know, she's kind of everywhere these days, if you look around. And it wasn't the case 20 years ago when I first got started with her. You know, back then she was very much seen as a really frightening goddess. And I think this was really influenced a lot by some earlier, let's call them like neo-pagan writings. And a lot of the modern goddess movement kind of ignored Hecate, with the exception of some amazing early authors like Charlene Spretnik, who her book, Lost Goddesses of Ancient Greece, she was one of the only ones kind of in that realm of feminist scholars discussing goddesses who talked about Hecate in a very serious way. She, of course, is a, I should say Dr. Spretnik, she's a psychologist. And, you know, so there was a real lack of information. And then the world started to change. And, you know, when you look around where we are now, even compared to like 30 years ago, our culture in the West has gone through a huge upheaval. And in many ways, as a society, you know, especially here in North America, like, we are at a crossroads.
Yes.
If we look at what we've done to the planet, we're at a crossroads. If we look at our political institutions, it's clearly there's a crossroads. You know, this is things, this, the status quo that we took, you know, that we kind of took for granted, is really crumbling. And there has also been this amazing kind of liberation movement away from some of the really enforced patriarchal norms, like, you know, sexual identity, gender identity, what is and what isn't acceptable. And, you know, also like a movement away from like the monolith of Christianity being very connected to the state. So all of these things started shifting in the 60s, really. And then, so I think the spirit of Hecate as a goddess who abides at the crossroads and who offers, you know, the symbolic keys to both our own deeper inquiry within ourselves and the deeper world in general, I think she's very much a goddess of our time. And, you know, it's not just Hecate. There are other goddesses that some people would call dark goddesses or dark mothers, that they have a lot of footing and relevance these days as well.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. And I was going to say, for me personally, I see her as a goddess for reclaiming your sovereignty and your personal power. And also, you know, there's this, the whole, you know, social justice, inclusion, diversity element. There's been a lot of social injustice and in the recent years, and the foundations are crumbling. And, you know, as you say, she is the goddess of the of our time. But I really, to me, I see her as a powerful reclamation goddess. For
certainly, like I'm, you know, when we kind of think about these structures, whether they're, I guess, stereotypes or social norms or institutions that are crumbling, it can be helpful to see them as more solar. So they are more, if you know astrology,
yes,
you know what the sun represents, you know, it's the outward appearance. It's things looking good on the outside. It's that all growth is good. We have to keep growing. You know, this ceaseless, ridiculous consumerism that we're in, right?
Relentless, relentless consumerism and linear.
And, you know, Hecate is the lunar, the lunar spirit that in the natural world balances the solar.
Right. Exactly.
And you know what happens if, you know, if the sun shines 24 hours a day, well, we would cease to exist as a planet. And I think metaphorically or energetically, that this excessively solar culture that we've been living in was burning us all out, right? It was burning
literally, yeah.
Like everybody feels burnt out by it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Hecate is that lunar spirit who is, you know, the comforting, healing darkness, you know, the womb, if you like that kind of symbolism, that she offers succor in this darkness of hers, but there is always the light within the darkness. And that's I think very much what she symbolizes as well, because she's so connected to, you know, carrying those torches of hers.
Yes. I was just going to ask you that. You know, she's got her symbols, the keys, her sacred keys, the torches, the hounds. I go back to her as, I don't know, she's a guide, but she's kind of making me do all the work too. I mean, I mean, I do it anyway. And that's, and I think that's really important for any personal development and becoming a whole person. But I don't know, I kind of see her as a kind of tough love a little bit, but that's just me.
No, I think she's definitely like tough love, for lack of a better word. She's a guide. You know, and I think in the Keeping Your Keys book, I have a line, and I know this line resonates with a lot of people. I put in it, Hecate can't do for us what she can't do through us.
Mm-hmm. In other words, you have to be ready
for
her.
Yeah, you have to be ready and to step into your own authenticity. And this isn't like a passive relationship, you know, where she dishes out favors like a coddling parent.
Yeah, right. Or, I mean, it really takes active involvement in your own personal destiny and you know, healing, for sure. I agree.
Definitely. You know, it's very healing. And at least in my work, the way I connect with Hecate and the way I teach about Hecate is that she really is that spirit, that goddess who can offer us healing, personal empowerment. She, you know, she can soothe us when we're distressed, and that she is very much part of who we are. You know, that she's not some distant goddess that is sitting on a throne somewhere. You know, that she's the world soul. She's anima.
Right.
We have souls and we are of that. So for me, like in the way I see Hecate, as that world soul, you know, she is a very, very healing and transformative force.
And so if you were new to, let's say some of my listeners are fairly new to goddess and the divine feminine, how would you suggest building, beginning to build a relationship with Hecate?
Well, the Keeping Your Keys book really is an introductory course. So I do recommend that book if someone is interested in, like, what is it's, you know, it's a self-directed program of study.
Yeah.
But if someone is just listening right now and they're like, I really feel compelled by Hecate, you know, when I say her name, there's a vitality to it. Like, mm-hmm. if someone is connecting like that, I say, just, if you can get a candle, it can be like an LED candle, and just sit in a safe, darkened space with the candle and just contemplate the darkness and the light within it. And, you know, you can speak her name if you wish,
yeah.
gently. And, you know, there's a lot of attention, of course, on the new moon and Hecate, because we know from the historical evidence that in many areas of the ancient Mediterranean, there was a tradition where suppers known as the dipnon were offered to Hecate at crossroads. So there is a special connection with Hecate and the new moon. The night when the moon is dark,
mm-hmm.
Japan mm-hmm. is very liminal, because in the ancient right. world and in my school, we honor the night when the moon is dark as a time in between months. It's neither month. It's the liminal space. And that was how those who left these crossroads suppers would have seen it as well, a space in between.
So, yeah.
you know, if you can, you know, you could wait for the new moon and do a very simple ritual, call her name, and just contemplate how darkness can be safe and protective, that it can be like that womb, and that the light within it, that is the both the darkness and the light within it, that is like the essence of Hecate.
Right. I was going to say that it's the time between the dark and the new moon. That's the way I've interpreted it, is her time, her sacred time. And that's the best time to do ritual, lunar ritual anyway.
Definitely. And, you know, there's that, we could talk a lot about, you know,
yeah.
when it's the dark moon, but generally yeah. I said, you know, around the astronomical new moon, when you can't see the moon in the sky, yeah. that's, we yeah. could get very technical.
Right.
So if you look out and there is no moon,
right.
look on the calendar and it says it's the new moon, that's the right time
yeah.
for you.
Yeah. Well, and here in Las Vegas, that's Monday, going to be Monday night. So I plan on doing a ritual with Hecate that night, but we're all in different time zones. So the next step, I guess, would be for, if they're really interested in working with you and your classes, to go to your website and look into the Covina Institute, right?
Mm-hmm. Just go to keepingherkeys.com or the covinainstitute.com.
Okay. So you've got this wonderful book. I highly encourage all the listeners to read Hecate's, Cindy's Keeping Her Keys, Hecate's Modern Witchcraft. And you've also got another book called Entering Hecate's Garden. What is that about? I'm assuming it's about herbs and botanicals.
It is all about botanicals. So it is a sort of almost grimoire, where there are rituals and then there are monographs for 39 plants and different ways to work with each of the 39 plants. And including spells, of course, lots of natural magic, and different ways of working with the botanicals, like using them for divination and so on. And so that is Entering Hecate's Garden, the Magic, Medicine, and Mystery of Plant Spirit Witchcraft. And I think the title
yeah.
sums it up.
Yeah.
You know, it's a compendium. It's a little bit of everything, of all of those
yeah.
three.
Yeah. Oh, fascinating. Okay. That sounds wonderful. And you've got a new book coming out called Entering Hecate's Cave. Is that correct?
It is correct. So it is Entering Hecate's Cave, The Journey Through Darkness to Wholeness.
Mm.
So this is all about returning to the darkness as sacred, returning to our own interior world. What is lunar? What is subterranean, you know, what is under our own skin, what is deeper inside of us. So that book really is a book where I merge depth psychology and different psychological methodologies with built around three rituals, which I've taught for many, many years now. And I really wanted to bring that ritual cycle, which we do in my school. We do it about half of the year. We're deeply engaged in this cycle. I wanted to present it in a self-directed format to make it accessible to anybody who wanted to have this experience that merges, solid psychological approaches with ritual experiences.
Right. Okay. Yeah. And I was going to ask you about your psychology practice, how you weave that into your Hecate writings and classes, but you actually said it right there. So, so this is wonderful. And I just encourage everybody to read Cindy's books and go to the Covina Institute and keepingyourkeys.com. So one last question. Do you have any new or upcoming, events or workshops or spiritual retreats or that kind of stuff?
What's happening right now in Covina, we've started a Keeping Your Keys read-along. So we started this in September. People can join whenever they want. There's recordings. You get a read-along of me reading the lesson, and then you get a Q&A, a recorded Q&A class, plus a live 24/7 chat. We do polls, and there's lots of sharing circles. So that Keeping Your Keys read-along, I've made available for really low cost. I know a lot of people don't have a lot of extra income right now. So that is there. People can start that anytime. In terms of the courses, I teach a program called Hecate's Keys. And right now we have maximum enrollment. So they're interested in learning more about the courses, Hecate's Keys, which is the one that I will publicly offer from time to time, that they can just go to the website right now. If they want to join, we have a few seats. I think we could have space for a few people if they were really interested. So they should. And that is a program where we walk the wheel of the year together, and we go through the season of release, the season of soul retrieval, the season of rebirth, and then the season of renewal during the summer when we celebrate all of the goddesses. There's four courses in this program that students can go through. And then typically after students do some time in Hecate's Keys, they move on to Lampadia, which is really a course focusing a lot on depth psychology. Mm-hmm. And we go much deeper into different areas, from internal family systems to understanding our dreams. And then for select graduates from Lampadia, I teach a course by invitation only called The Mist Die. So I don't do workshops. I don't do retreats. Yeah. This is the system I teach.
Yes, yes. Your courses are amazing. They sound amazing and phenomenal, really. So at the end, a person, what do they feel, or what do you think they get out of it? Is it just a closer connection with Hecate, or the goal is to feel whole and sovereign, or in just a few words? Just curious.
I mean, I think the end goal is to live from the center of your being.
Got it. Yeah.
To be authentic.
Right.
My job as an educator is to provide a safe container and curriculum that guides students deeper into, Hecate and her mysteries, and deeper into themselves, so they become more authentic, more empowered, develop the skills for navigating this really complicated world. As well as the skills for really connecting deeper to Hecate, and whether it's plants or stones or ancestors or allies, and just really having that really full, vivacious life that is full, really living the principles that I briefly talk about in the Keeping Your Keys book, which are passion, kindness, and integrity.
Absolutely. So better living through witchcraft.
Yes.
All in all. Well, I see you as a living embodiment of Hecate. So thank you very much for being on my show. And it was such a pleasure chatting with you. I've gone to your website and really honored all that you do. And just thank you again so much.
Well, thank you so much for your kind words. And yeah. This has been delightful.
Yeah. So everybody out there, keepinghrkeys.com. And thank you again, Cindy Brannon. I wish you all the best and blessed be.
And hail Hecate.
Bye-bye.
I hope you enjoyed this conversation. And if you did, please consider supporting my podcast via PayPal on my PayPal.me/Oracle of Luna podcast. The link is in the show notes. And also feel free to share the magic of my podcast with others. Thank you, and blessed be.